You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, we have a very interesting experiment for you people. I hope you're going to like it. I'm going to use my show to introduce you to another podcast that I think you might like. I'm going to play you a short snippet. It's our whole show today is only about 7 minutes long. And let's see what you think. So the show is called The Passion Economy, hosted by Adam Davidson. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Adam is a business reporter. He created the show Planet Money. He writes for The New Yorker, and he spent years covering the darker, sadder stories of the economy. And now he's created The Passion Economy, which is maybe a little bit more optimistic than some of that. We can use some optimism, obviously, this year. It's a time when the economy is confusing, scary. None of us really knows what's around the corner. And yet there's some people out there that are bringing some light into this. They're channeling their passions into creating new businesses. And that's the kind of people that Adam speaks to. Every week he sits down with real people who have figured out a way to thrive during COVID and unpacks their stories for the lessons that we can apply to our own lives. Very much like what we try to do on Rebel Radio. You'll hear from a top tier chef who took a giant risk so he can make the perfect ice cream. The snippet I'm going to play you is an amazing story about a former drug dealer who used his time in prison to develop a business idea so unique no one will ever compete with him. And he's got lots of other stories about people who can teach us and show us just how exciting life can be if you live through your passions. I hope you'll check it out and send us a note. I'd love to hear what you think.
Putting my business hat on, there's a few ways to differentiate a business to make a profit. So one way is to create such a unique brand that people will pay a lot more. So like the iPhone costs a lot more than just a generic Chinese smartphone. And it sounds like you're doing a little bit of that, but there's not a huge range. You can't charge 10 times as much as the...
We did charge. So the typical gram in New York City was $60, and I was charging $100. But we were all dressed up in a suit.
Let me jump in here for a sec, because this is such a crucial point. It's so central to the idea we're trying to explore on this podcast. The passion economy is all about not being in a commodity business. And by commodity, I mean anything you make or any service you provide that is very common. Lots of people offer the same sort of thing, like cocaine. There's not a huge amount of differentiation between one shipment of cocaine to another. And even if there is, consumers are not necessarily all that picky. Cost is buying the same stuff from the same supplier that other people are buying and selling. It's like generic soda or generic Band-Aids. Sorry, I mean generic adhesive bandages or something. It is very hard to make money in commodity markets. Just ask any wheat farmer or the people who sell knockoff computer components. If your product is just like a bunch of other people's product, then you pretty much can only compete on price. And that means everyone is lowering their prices and nobody is getting rich. Now, Kossier shows a great way to succeed when you're in a commodity business. His extra profit, his fatter margins, come by taking that standard product and delivering it in a much better way by offering better services to a very specific customer. So Koss has identified this specific market, hipster gentrifiers, who are totally different from the traditional market in the Lower East Side. They don't feel comfortable going to the projects, waiting in line. They're scared of it. They feel that they'll be taken advantage of. So Koss creates this character. It's a character of the safe, approachable, not at all scary, and reliable drug dealer. And he does everything he can to make his customers feel safe. He comes to them. He doesn't make them come to him. He uses technology because they're more comfortable with technology, and it allows his distribution to happen more efficiently. He makes sure the product remains pure. He doesn't cut it. He doesn't dilute it with cheaper inert powders like a lot of other drug dealers do. And?
It worked. It blew up.
How much were you taking in at your peak?
Personally, like over $2 million a year.
Wow.
At 19.
Wow.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Koss did so much right. But man, oh man, did he do some things really badly.
So what... How does it all fall apart?
So I had dispatchers, drivers. I had a dispatcher who was in a stash house. And he decided to start another card behind our back. But I get a call from one client that had my personal number who bought from this guy. And he was like, yo, what's going on? Like, this product, this shit is whack. Like, I keep getting this stuff from this certain vehicle. And by the way, he gave me a new number. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And so I was like, let me get that number. So I called back that number. The dispatcher picks up. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck you doing? And he hung up right away. And I had to connect at the cell phone store, shut down all the phones. I reopened the numbers with different phones. So I took over the phone lines. Not knowing that phone he started was being tapped by the feds. Federal agents started calling that number, and at the time I didn't trust any dispatchers, so I started doing all the dispatching myself, and I started doing handling all the phones,
which turned out to put a lot of the weight on you.
Yep. And so I'm in the stash house. And it was funny because that day I got caught was it was weird because you know the Nextels were, you know, the radio system that we was using to chirp the walkie talkie, so we was like, you know, sending people to make the deliveries, and the phones were, you know, each phone I was like, like it was just stuck. And then it happened to the next driver and the next driver and the next driver. And I'm like, yo, it's like Nextel fucked up today or something. And so all my drivers were being knocked as I sent them to different stops. So I had all the product. The guys are not picking up. I had probably 40 somewhat people on waiting to be served, and so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go make the deliveries myself. It was a Thursday night, it was really busy, so I grabbed the Coke, and as soon as I stepped out of the house, this like white dude there, there's no fucking white people over there, and this guy's like, Koss Marte, and I turned around and I'm like, what the fuck, you, how the fuck you know my name? He's like, this is the DEA agent Joseph King. He pulls out his badge out of his fucking shirt and was like, your whole operation is over.
Did you have a trial?
Yeah, I pleaded guilty. I was guilty as a motherfucker.
He gets sentenced to 12 years in prison. Fairly quickly, he develops a new passion, a passion for fitness. Eventually, that would become the seed of his next business, the business he'd do once he served his time.
Were you in shape before you got arrested?
Absolutely not. So I was extremely overweight,
Really? I mean, you are very...
Yeah, I basically got really overweight because I was, like, sitting in a car just fucking eating junk food. I was so lazy in the street. I didn't do anything. I was over 230 pounds. I would drive to the corner bodega, which is, like, 50 yards down the block. But I didn't know I was, like... I didn't feel that bad until I went in. And when you go in, is the first time that they take, like, the... You know, blood tests and all that stuff, and they said my cholesterol levels were through the roof, that I could probably die of a heart attack within 5 years. And I was like, get the hell out of here, I'm not gonna die. But when I went back to my cell, I just started like thinking, like, oh shit, you know, like, this is serious.
Yo, that was a snippet of The Passion Economy, hosted by Adam Davidson. I hope you liked it. Go over to The Passion Economy, check out the whole thing, subscribe, check out all their shows, and leave us a comment. Let me know what you think. Should we do some more of these? You want me to help you discover some other shows? I'm happy to, maybe not. We'll see. You can hit us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Net, on Facebook at Rebel Radio Net. You can text me if you have my pager number. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.